The Lord of the Rings, Chapter 1, A Long Expected Party. When Mr. Bilbo Baggins of Baggins announced that he would shortly be celebrating his 71st birthday with a party of special magnificence, there was much talk and excitement in Hobbiton. Bilbo was very rich and very peculiar, and had been the wonder of the Shire for 60 years, ever since his remarkable disappearance and unexpected return. The riches he had brought back from his travels had now become a local legend, and it was popularly believed, whatever the old folk might say, that the hill at Bagend was full of tunnels stuffed with treasure. And if that was not enough for fame, there was also his prolonged vigour to marvel at. Time wore on, but it seemed to have little effect on Mr. Baggins. At 90, he was much the same as at 50. At 99, they began to call him well-preserved, but unchanged would have been nearer the mark. There were some that shook their heads and thought this was too much of a good thing. It seemed unfair that anyone should possess perpetual youth as well as inexhaustible wealth. "It will have to be paid for," they said. "It isn't natural, and trouble will come of it." But so far trouble hadn't come, and as Mr. Baggins was generous with his money, most people were willing to forgive him his oddities and his good fortune. He remained on visiting terms with his relatives, except of course the Sackville Bagginses, and he had many devoted admirers among the hobbits of poor and unimportant families. But he had no close friends, until some of his younger cousins began to grow up. The eldest of these, and Bilbo's favourite, was young Frodo Baggins. When Bilbo was 99, he adopted Frodo as his heir, and brought him to live at Baggins, and the hopes of the Sackville Bagginses were finally dashed. Bilbo and Frodo happened to have the same birthday, September 22nd. "You had better come and live here, Frodo, my lad," said Bilbo one day. "And then we can celebrate our birthday parties comfortably together." At that time, Frodo was still in his tweens, as the hobbits call the irresponsible 20s between childhood and coming of age at 33. 12 more years passed. Each year the Bagginses had given a very lovely combined birthday parties at Baggins, but now it was understood that something quite exceptional was being planned for that autumn. Bilbo was going to be 71, a rather curious number, and a very respectable age for a hobbit, and Frodo was going to be 33, an important number, the date of his coming of age. Tongues began to wag in Hobbiton and Bywater, and rumour of the coming event travelled all over the Shire. The history and character of Mr. Bilbo Baggins became once again the chief topic of conversation, and the older folk suddenly found their reminiscences in welcome demand. No one had a more attentive audience than old Ham Gamgee, commonly known as a gaffer. He held forth at the Ivy Bush, a small inn on the Bywater Road, and he spoke with some authority, for he had tended the garden at Baggins for 40 years, and had helped old Holman in the same job before that. Now that he was himself growing old and stiff in joints, the job was mainly carried on by his youngest son, Sam Gamgee. Both father and son were on very friendly terms with Bilbo and Frodo. They lived on the hill itself in number 3 Bagshot Row, just below Baggins.
"A very nice, well-spoken, gentle hobbit is Mr. Bilbo, as I've always said," the gaffer declared, with perfect truth, for Bilbo was very polite to him, calling him Master Hamfast, and consulting him constantly upon the growing of vegetables in the matter of roots, especially potatoes. The gaffer was recognized as the leading authority by all in the neighborhood, including himself.
"But what about this Frodo that lives with him?
asked old Noakes of Bywater. Baggins is his name, but he's more than half a brandybug, they say. It beats me why any Baggins of Hobbiton should go looking for a wife where they in Bunkland, where folks are so queer.
And no wonder they are queer,
put in Daddy Foot, the gaffer's next door neighbour.
If they live on the wrong side of the Brandywine River, and right against the old forest, oh, that's a dark bad place, if half the tales be true.
You are right, Dad, said the gaffer. Not that the Brandybugs of Buckland live in the old forest, but they are queer breeds, seemingly. They fool about with boats on that big river, and that isn't natural. Small wonder that trouble came of it, I say. Oh, but be that as it may, Mr. Frodo is a nice young hobbit as you could wish to meet, very much like Mr. Bilbo, and in more than looks. After all, his father was a Baggins. A decent, respectable hobbit was Mr. Drogo Baggins. There was never much to tell of him, till he was drowned.
Drowned?
Said several voices. They had heard this and other darker rumours before, of course, but hobbits have a passion for family history, and they were ready to hear it again.
Well, so they say, said the gaffer. You see, Mr. Drogo, he married poor Miss Primula Brandybuck. She was our Mr. Bilbo's first cousin on the mother's side, and Mr. Drogo was his second cousin. So, Mr. Frodo is his first and second cousin, once removed either way, as they say it is, if you follow me. And Mr. Drogo was staying at Brandy Hall with his father-in-law, old Master Garbadoc, as he often did after his marriage. And he went out boating on the Brandywine River, and he and his wife were drowned. And poor Mr. Frodo, only a child and all. I've heard they went on the water after dinner in the moonlight, said old Noakes. And it was Drogo's weight as sunk the boat.
And I heard she pushed him in, and he pulled her in after him, said Sandyman, the hobbit and miller.
You shouldn't listen to all you hear, Sandyman, said the gaffer, who didn't much like the miller. There isn't no call to go talking of pushing and pulling. Boats are quite tricky enough for those that sit still without looking further for the cause of trouble. Anyway, there was this Mr. Frodo left an orphan and stranded, as you might say, among those queer Bucklanders, being brought up anyhow in Brandy Hall. A regular warren by all accounts. Old Mr. Garbadoc never had fewer than a couple of hundred relations in the place. Mr. Bilbo never did a kinder deed than when he brought the lad back to live among decent folk. But I reckon it was a nasty knock for those Sackville Bagginses. They thought they were going to get Baggand, that time when he went off and was thought to be dead. And then he comes back and orders them off. And he goes on living and living and never looking a day older, bless him. And suddenly he produces an heir, and has all the papers made out proper. The Sackville Bagginses won't never see the inside of Baggand now, or it is to be hoped not. There's a tidy bit of money tucked away up there, he tell, said a stranger, a visitor on business from Michael Delvin in the West Farthing. All the top of your hill is full of tunnels packed with chests of gold and silver and jewels, by what I've heard. Then you've heard more than I can speak to, answered the gaffer. I know nothing about jewels. Mr. Bilbo is free with his money, and there seems no lack of it. But I know of no tunnels making. I saw Mr. Bilbo when he came back, a matter of 60 years ago, when I was a lad. I would not long come prentice to old Holman, but he had me up at Baggan helping him to keep folks from trampling and trapsing all over the garden while the sale was on. And in the middle of it all, Mr. Bilbo comes up the hill with a pony and some mighty big bags and a couple of chests. I don't doubt they were mostly full of treasure he had picked up in foreign parts, where there be mountains of gold, they say, but there wasn't enough to fill tunnels. My lad Sam will know more about that. He's in and out of Bag End, you know. Crazy about stories of the old days he is, and he listens to all Mr. Bilbo's tales. Mr. Bilbo has learned him his letters, meaning no harm, mark you, and I hope no harm will come of it. Elves and dragons, I says to him. Cabbages and potatoes are better for you and me. Don't go getting mixed up in the business of your betters, or you'll land in trouble too big for you, I says to him. And I might say it to others, he added, with a look at the stranger and the miller. But the gaffer didn't convince his audience. The legend of Bilbo's wealth was now too firmly fixed in the minds of the younger generation of hobbits. But he's likely enough been adding to what the brought at first, argued the miller, voicing common opinion. He's often away from home, and look at the outlandish folk that visit him, dwarfs coming at night, and that old wandering conjurer Gandalf, and all. You can say what you like, gaffer, but Bag End's a queer place, and its folk are queerer.
And you can say what you like about what you know no more of than you do of boating, Mr. Sandyman, retorted the gaffer, disliking the miller even more than usual. If that's being queer, then we could do with a bit more queerness in these parts. There is some not far away that wouldn't offer a pint of beer to a friend if they lived in a hole with golden walls. But they do things proper at Bag End. Our Sam says that everyone's going to be invited to the party, and there is going to be presents, mark you, this very month as is.